a mom. 2 Kings chapter 4, a mom for all times. Kind of a simple story, but when you really get into it, there's just so much to unpack. Second Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go. Borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons, live on the rest." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for your incomparable word. Lord, there's nothing else like it. We just thank you. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, for all that he's done for us, for coming from heaven to earth, going to the cross, dying in our place for our sins, rising again the third day and going back to heaven. And Lord, that through him, we have the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, for those things that maybe no one else knows about, but you do, and how you're working even when we are completely unaware of it. And Lord, because I know there's different needs. There are some that are not real serious, but then there's others, Lord, that even within our church family that are pretty serious. And we just continue to pray for your mercies and goodness. Lord, thank you. You know what you're doing. We pray again for our country, for those over us in authority, and Lord, especially for those of the Supreme Court at this time as they are thinking about possibly doing something with marriage. Lord, help them to understand they are not God. They can change titles and put on words, but it does not and will not ever change reality. And help them, Lord, help those court officials to realize that they are accountable to a higher judge, not the UN, not a world council, but they will die and stand before you. So Lord, if it is for you to give them the fear of God, that they would tamper with the truth of your word, that marriage is a man and a woman, help them to understand that. But Lord, again, as I always pray, you're in control. You know the time in which we live. You know the culture in which we live. You're in control. Lord, just help us to be your people, to glorify you. Lord, we pray for those, again, overseas, especially thinking of Nepal, for your help there and for the organizations like Samaritan's Purse, helping physically, sharing the gospel of Jesus as well. So Lord, as we come to this, we do thank you for the gift of moms, mothers. And so Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed indeed. Lord, help us to come to your word, to understand it, to see ourselves in this, be we moms or not, and to see you. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A mom for all times. When the going gets tough, go to mom. Mom for all times. This is an unnamed mother. Notice that? Unnamed. Generic. So, I want us to look at, to begin with, her circumstances. Her circumstances, we're going to look at her plea, her answer, her response, God's response to her response, and the remedy. Her circumstances, verses 1 and 2. She's in a crisis. First of all, we understand she's lost her husband. He's an honest man who feared God. It describes him as the sons of the prophets. She's a wife of the son of the prophets. Interesting phrase. It's used in chapter 1 of this book of 2 Kings. I'm sorry, chapter 2, a number of places. So Elisha is a prophet, a major prophet in Israel at this time. Sons of the prophets are almost like a traveling group of interns. They're prophets in training. So they're going around following the major prophets, learning what they can, seeing how God works. Prophet interns. She is a widow. She has lost her husband. Now, part of her circumstance, too, is not just having lost her husband. She's poor. When Elisha asks her, "What do you have in the house?" he doesn't even say, "Your house," just "the house." And she answers, and the understood, we could, I think, put in, "What do you have of value that's in it?" And she answers, "A jar of oil." Now, because oil is expensive. You just didn't go down to your Jerusalem Walmart or wherever and get another thing of a 2 liter of oil. It's oil. And that's what she's got, a container of oil in there. But that's it. She's poor. And in the crisis, as a widow, losing her husband, she's also in debt. Verse 4, towards the end of the verse. She's in debt. The very fact that she has a creditor who's coming to take her two sons to be slaves. She's in debt. All she's got are her two sons. She's going to lose them. It gets worse. She's, and matter of fact, she's helpless about this. Two sons, creditor, she's poor. Notice he didn't say, "Take your sons as servants or employees or workers," slaves. Now, how can it be so bad that you can have a creditor who looks at what you owe to them, and they want to take your only children away to be slaves? Well, the culture of this time, in chapter 3, just one page over in my Bible, it says in verse 3:1, Jehoram is king over Israel. And in verse 2, and he's doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoram, an evil king. And so it's kind of like if the mafia ran the government. and the mafia ran everything, what recourse would you have? Now, her situation is her husband was a son of the prophet, and she's poor. Well, because what did the son of prophets do for a living? Not much, except follow prophets around. And so what do they live upon? They live upon credit. Credit. And there's someone who's been willing to loan them what they need to live until that person has come to the point she has no way of paying back. What does she have? Sons. So think of places like used to be in Africa and such. They would come in, and it was even tribe to tribe who would take away those as slaves from one tribe to the next. Not just European people to come in to take them to sell them. Slaves. So a creditor has probably told her, you have two sons. We'll work a deal. But that's the culture of the time. You have an evil king. So in a sense, all this is saying is, not only facing a crisis, she's also helpless about it. She is helpless. She is to the end of her rope. And the very fact that she's going to lose her two sons, we have no idea how old they are. But children, especially sons in that time, there was no welfare. There were no government programs. You're on your own. Every person for themselves. But the sons could grow up and take care of the family and provide, if their mom was a widow, provide for her. Maybe have her move in. So they are not only taking her two most precious possessions in the world, they're taking away her future as well. What is she going to do for herself? We have no idea. She's a widow. See, so in a sense, she's in a crisis, but she's also helpless. So her plea, verse 1, certain woman cried, her plea. There are at least 7 different words in the Hebrew Old Testament that have to do one form or another of to cry. This is not break down and weep tears. This is a very specific word. It could be translated shriek or call out loud. So I did not do it justice from the volume that she cried out. She is desperate. Cry. Serious. But her plea is to Elisha. He is now the prophet. He has taken over from probably a more well-known name, for those of you familiar with the Old Testament, Elijah. We even sing in one of our worship songs, these are the days of Elijah. Well-known Old Testament prophet. Well, he's gone. Elisha was his number one trainee and has taken over. Prophet. She goes to Elisha. So, going to a prophet, she goes to a man of God, knowing that God speaks to this man. God speaks through this man. That's how the prophets were. They spoke for the Lord. God works through this man. This man speaks to God. And God listens to him. That was all the flavor of prophet. Here's someone who's connected. So she knows who to go to in her time. No church on the corner. This was an evil culture, evil king. No church on the corner. No Bible in hand. All he had were the prophets. That was it. But she knows who to go to. And she does. His answer, verses 2 to 4. What do you have? What do you have? Let's start there. Do you remember God asking Moses, what is in your hand? And how did David face Goliath the giant? A sling and some stones. And he asked her, what have you got? What's in your hand? Let's start there. And then, what can you do? And he tells her, get more jars, more vessels. What can you do? And pour out the oil. Pour out the oil. Take what you have. Pour it out. Get as many containers as you can. Take your jar. We don't even know how large it is. And pour it out. Okay, this is getting strange. It's like what? A drop here, a little bit there, a drop here, some there. Pour it out into as many containers as I can get. By the way, don't moms pour out their lives? You better be saying, yes, they do. They pour out their lives. How much life does a mother have? I don't know. Where does she find the resources to do everything that she does? I'm not sure. 24, 7, 365. And a mom just pours out her life. And for those of you with young children, they will get older. And you know, in different ways, you'll keep pouring out your life. You'll just, it'll be different. But you just kind of keep pouring it out. A mom pours out her life. And when they're small, it's like a little here, a little there, a little here. And here they are, one jar of oil. Well, you know, with all these containers, okay, who knows what's in her mind's eye at this time? And then it gets stranger than that. Verse 4, and set aside the full ones. Set aside the full ones. I take it the principle of, well, the loaves and the fishes principle, but also go with what you understand. Now, we have a lot more understanding of God and his ways than I think she ever did. Because she had prophets. And her husband was a prophet in training. And he's not around to lean on anymore. We have a lot more understanding, I think, than she ever did. But he's telling her, do this, and then set aside full ones. Go with what you understand. Because her response in verse 5 was that she did what he trust and obey. Maybe we'll do that one at the end, whatever number that is. I don't know, 400 something, whatever. But that's what she does. So she went from him, shut the door behind her sons who brought vessels to her, and she just poured it out. Trust, obey. Because he's already told her, okay, this makes sense. Okay, this is not making sense anymore. And then you lost me on that last instruction. Set aside the full ones. Wait, full. They must be really small because my jar is maybe a gallon jar. And so if I go get a couple quarts, they'll be full and that's it. Set aside the full ones. But it's like, all right, I've been told, trust, obey. And she does. Now, what's really interesting is God's response to her response. That's in verse 6. It came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, is there anything left? Bring me some more. There's nothing, he said, and the oil stopped. So that's God's response to her response. Now there's a great biblical principle here. And she's just seeing it played out in an extremely physical way. Out of your emptiness, God can pour in his fullness. Biblical response. Of God's response to our response. It's out of my emptiness God puts his fullness in. And so Paul would say, hundreds and hundreds of years later, therefore, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. So when I don't think, when I think I'm on empty, it's like God's opportunity to go, okay, you are good. Give your emptiness to me. Let me fill it. Because all the vessels were full. So did she go from one to the next and then discover, well, I poured it out, but there's still more. And then go back, and then after a while, let's fill this one up. Let's fill this one up. Let's fill this one up. Where's it coming from? Let's fill this one up. How can a jar of oil, because at those times, you could have quart vessels, gallon vessels. Jesus performed a miracle, turning water into wine, where the containers were about how many gallons apiece? 20 to 30 gallon clay vessels. So you could have large ones there. All the way through, watching this miracle go on, God's response to her response. And the biblical principle, again, is the more we are aware of our emptiness, the more God has the opportunity to pour in his fullness. It's always that way. It's when we depend upon ourselves. It's no good. It's no good. God's response to her response. And so the remedy is, verse 6, bring me another vessel. He said, there's not. The oil stopped. Verse 7, the remedy. She came and told Elisha, sell it. We have no idea how much she had. But again, oil is not cheap. Sell it. Pay off the creditor, and you'll have even more than that. So the creditor is paid off. Her sons stay with her, and there's even more that they can live on. All coming out of a container. But no, there's no magic in the container. It was in response to faith that God was talking through this individual, here's what I need to do. You know, pastors from time to time do things like marriage counseling. And I'll jokingly say to begin with, if somebody says, oh, pastor, we need to, it's like, wait, I don't know if you can afford me. Just work it out. Work it out. But no, I do. But you know, sometimes it's like, well, there just came a day where I just sort of woke up and I did not love my spouse anymore. You know, I just sort of looked at him and said, I don't love him anymore. Or I woke up and looked at her and said, I don't love her anymore. And they'll come and like, we're not in love anymore. What are you supposed to do? Well, then you have to learn to love each other. Learn to love each other. But you don't understand. I don't feel. It's like, we're not talking about how you feel. We're talking about the Bible saying, learn how to love one another. So love one another. How in the world do you do that? Well, you start by acting like you love your spouse. Act like it to start with. Isn't that hypocritical? Well, if you want to split hairs, no. Because what does God say in the Bible? That we're to love that way. And even if it's like, but I just don't even not like my spouse anymore, I intensely dislike them. Okay, well then the Bible says, love your enemies. That's what Jesus said. So you got an enemy that you have to be married to? Well, start loving them. Wait, how can I love someone that I don't feel good about anymore? You start acting like you love them. And you're not a hypocrite because God, what you'll be doing is doing, you're doing what God wants you to do. And when you do this, and you go, and you pray, Lord, there's nothing there. Okay, what are you saying? Well, it's empty. The container of my heart is empty. All right, present it to God. Do what God wants you to do, and then let him fill up the container. The hard part is, in our culture, we can be so wrapped around the feeling, emotion of it all, we can't get across that final hurdle. You're saying, if I act like I love my spouse and do things for them without being asked, or bring them something without being reminded, or whatever, or offer to help, or do something, or offer to take care of the kids, or be, or whatever, that I will start to love them. You got it. You're not as dumb as you look. No, you don't say that. No, I'm just kidding. I would look in a mirror and say there, hopefully you're not as dumb as you look, but that's okay. That's me in a mirror, but not to anybody else. I shouldn't even have said that. Sorry. Is this being recorded? Oh, boy. My hole is getting deeper all the time. Can you delete some of this? But if you act like you do, that's this woman. Okay, get together. Get it all together. Just get together. Here's what you can do. And get past what you don't understand. That's it. Okay, but I got this final hurdle. Get past what you don't understand. Just do what you do understand. And let God work in it all. That's up. And the remedy. For God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Is he not? Last time I read that, it was still in the Bible, even though it's New Testament. And I don't think it's changed any. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, or in some versions, ask or imagine. God is able, but he has to have the chance. She could have shortcutted this at any point. Well, here's what you need to do. She could have gone, Elisha, can I talk to the number two prophet around, please, to see if what they might tell me would make any more sense than what you're telling me? But she didn't. And so here she is in the midst of a crisis. That's why pick on a mom in the midst of a crisis? Because a mom who's not in crisis or things are going okay is, that's good. Blessed be such mothers. Because if you're not in a crisis now, you may be someday. It may happen. So just tuck this away somewhere, back in your memories. Because she went to the one who represented for her, God. So don't always come to your pastor. You got a Bible. I mean, I can help people. It's That's how they do with counseling. It's like, okay, is there something in here that we can look at that can be of help to you? It's the best place to go in counseling. And then go from there. That's it. I'm shutting this down early. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Can all moms here stand for closing prayer, please? If your mother, not a wannabe mother someday, future mother, just you are. Okay, Father, we just thank you again for having placed in the human race the role, the position, the responsibility, the person of mother. And we look at these moms here, and we bless you for them, and we bless them for you, for your hand to be upon them, for your goodness to be exhibited towards them, for your mercy to be expressed in their life, for wisdom, your wisdom to be their day-to-day portion. And it doesn't matter whatever age or stage they're in, Lord, for your presence to be there, for your help, for your instruction, for your kindness, for your firmness, for your goodness, we pray upon them. And we pray to them, your blessing upon them. So, Lord, thank you. We thank you, again, because in the way they've given of themselves to others, you did the same. You gave of your son Jesus for us when it was rough. But you did. Thank you, Lord, for such great love, for the love of moms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.